Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of our show. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. That's kind of all you need to know. Maybe the phone number also, which is 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us there. Hi, Wendy.
Look at that. You got everything accomplished in that little intro.
All the important stuff. And now we have like 3 hours to just do whatever we want now.
Including the stream, which in case you don't know, the stream is back in action at 12 noon.
More fun than ever.
It really is.
I think not doing it for a couple of weeks made us appreciate it even more. So if you're around and you want to hear that, that goes from noon to 1 o'clock.
It's better than Ezra.
It is, but yeah, Ezra's fine, but I think it is. It's better than Ezra. Well said.
Do you still have that band? What was it called?
Not Quite As Good As Ezra? Yeah, that's our cover band for Better Than Ezra. We're playing at Shakey's Pizza Friday. Come on out.
Oh, that's
it's gonna
fun.
Be fun. We're going to have a good time.
We have Scott.
I love Shakey's Pizza.
Oh, so good.
I don't know if there was one near me.
It was a South Side thing, wasn't it, pretty much?
I'm Brookfield. I wasn't.
They were spread out. There were some by you. There were some west,
really?
Shakey's Pizza. And for some reason, whenever you went in, from start to finish, there was a player piano playing songs from 1926.
Yep. Why didn't it make it? Why isn't it still around?
My dad would come home from work and bring a Shakey's Pizza at night. Oh,
yeah.
It was a good night.
Yeah.
Well,
and it was called Shakey's Pizza because the owner had a slight nervous disorder.
Well,
sometimes I know when not to believe you. Sometimes I don't. We also, speaking of music and Better Than Ezra, no relation at all, but Scott Stapp tickets coming up sometime before 12 noon today.
Stapper.
I compared Creed to Train yesterday, and people compared me to something.
They were upset with that comparison.
It's the same kind of music.
You know who is really angry? Orion. I got a long note from Orion. Tell Wendy to take that back, he said. Furious.
Oh, well.
You finally have seen the show. I still haven't seen it. I've seen clips of it. Sacha Baron Cohen show.
What is America?
It's on Showtime.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Who is America?
Who is America?
Who is America?
This is America. I thought it was, but that's a Childish Gambino song.
Yeah.
So Who is America?
Yeah.
And Sacha Baron Cohen.
Is that grammatically correct, by the way? I think purposely it is not.
What do you mean? Is that not his name?
Who is America?
Who is America?
Is that correct, Steve? It seems
America is whom?
Hmm.
I don't know.
It seems like it could be worded.
Are you really
going
to quibble about this?
Well, I was the one who said it shouldn't be America's Got Talent. It should be America Has Talent. But then I watched the show and I went, no, I'm wrong.
But America's Got Talent.
America has talent would have been the right way, I think. Pretty sure.
You know, for all these years that you and I have been corrected for our grammatical errors, yeah. Now all of a sudden you're doing it?
Yes, it's my job now. I've taken on that job. So Who is America is on Showtime. It's Sacha Baron Cohen's show. It's been in the news constantly the last couple weeks.
Steve, have you seen any of it?
No, I haven't.
I binged the 3 episodes. I was looking for Sarah Palin. That is not in the first 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders is.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in America that I have to explain this to you. You watch Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's done up in makeup, and he is several different characters interviewing these people.
Much like his old Ali G
yes,
show.
Yes, but yeah. These are three different, like, at this point, there are three different characters.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's set up. It really does. Like, some of these people that he interviews...
The people he's talking to are already in on the fact that it's
him? It looks like it.
Yeah.
But then it is revealed as the sketch goes on that they can't possibly be in on it because no human being... I don't want to give things away because I want you to watch it, but...
Well, I saw the Roy Moore, parts of the Roy Moore one. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
Right.
That's in episode 3.
And he had like a child abuser meter.
Mm-hmm.
A pedophile meter, and it was just what you get scanned with at a Hawks game or the airport.
And then he would rub it in front of Roy Moore and it would go off, right?
Right.
And Roy Moore just sat there.
Well, see, and that's the thing that that's a great example. Thank you, Steve, and I won't be giving anything away because that was all over YouTube yesterday. Sacha Baron Cohen is this anti-terrorism expert, and he said that they have come up with this new technology that can determine if you're a pedophile immediately. So mm-hmm. it's just that scanner, and he puts it in front of himself, and it's silent.
Yeah.
And then he puts it towards Roy Moore, and it beeps.
Goes
and
off.
Roy Moore was the former candidate for governor in Alabama, right? Was it Alabama?
Yes.
Several young girls came forward and said that he had
including had a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And so right then and there, if I was Roy Moore, I would have, even when the word pedophile came up, I'd be out of there. But he stayed there and he kind of smiled nervously. And then Sacha Baron Cohen takes the wand and he kind of hits it and he goes, oh, it must be malfunctioning because neither of us are a pedophile. So I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
So he does it in front of himself again, silent, points it towards Roy Moore and it beeps. And then he goes, there's a problem with this. I don't know. And so he brings someone from backstage, one of the crew members, and he goes, it's probably going to go off on him too. And it's dead silent. And then back on Sasha, dead
and
silent.
Off.
And then Roy Moore again.
Yeah.
And he goes, is that your jacket?
Oh.
And he says, Roy Moore says, yes. Are you sure you didn't lend that jacket to someone? Because we're picking something up. And then he's like, I've been married 33, he doesn't say years, and no one's ever accused me of that. We're finished here. But I mean, how did it take that long?
Well, first of all, they have accused him of that.
I know.
Oh, is that what he meant by that? All right, so a couple of questions. Question number one. Why did he or the other people who have been duped by him, why did they submit to this?
Is
it just because everybody wants publicity? Is that what it is?
Dick Cheney sits down with him and is just spends the whole... Sacha Baron Cohen, again, this anti-terrorism expert, and he's like, I'm so happy to have you. And he goes, I am delighted to be here. And he's sitting and all ready for an interview. This is Dick Cheney. He thinks it's a legitimate interview. But my question is, they have to sign a waiver to let themselves appear on television,
sure,
don't
they? Sure,
of
course, yeah.
So do they sign it before?
Yes, absolutely yes.
Okay, here's a clue to anyone out there. Don't sign the waiver till afterwards or
but
be able to amend it.
TV stuff where you just assume, well, this will go according to plan. I'll sign what they want me to sign.
Yeah, I've had to have people sign waivers for other work I've done, and I wouldn't do the interview if they didn't sign it.
And they wouldn't do the interview either. But Dick Cheney was, there were just some, you know, hey, he took a selfie with him and can I take a dick pic? Do you want, you know, it's just so funny. And Dick Cheney is just taking this as, like, he's not hearing the joke because he thinks it's a legitimate interview. And then there's a signing a water board. It's really just a milk jug. And Cheney's like, I've never signed something that's been used to waterboard someone before. And Sasha says, oh, yeah, Netanyahu signed it, someone else, and Demi Lovato. Huh. It's just so ridiculous.
All right, so the biggest criticism that he's received for this is that he's fooling these people into doing what they don't want to do.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Does it? Yeah.
I hate to say that. I mean, I'm watching it, and he goes into this town in Arizona and has a meeting as a different character, and he says, I'm going to bring, you know, $380 million to your town.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to build a mosque.
Uh-huh.
And they're all like white Americans that are like, we don't want a stupid mosque. And we're mad at you.
Yeah.
And I can't say what they said. They got really mad. And they would forego getting money to be pumped into their economy because they don't want a mosque.
That's the trade-off.
There.
Yeah.
And it's just, those people I weren't embarrassed for. I really weren't because they were just, that's who they were.
But you were embarrassed for the people who did sit-down interviews with
him. Yeah, there's one girl in particular. And again, I'm not going to give away a lot of stuff, but she was on The Bachelorette or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he poses as this Italian photographer. So he's taking shots of her and trying to promote this charity thing where she is in a part of Africa fighting Ebola.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, we're going to take a picture of you, put this suit on, and we'll green green screen you in, open it up so we can see your breasts. So she's doing this, and then he's just saying, make things up. You know, this is all a promotional thing. So it's like, how long have you been working on with the children with Ebola? And she's just, God bless her. She's adorable. I think she truly thinks this is something that's going to benefit her career.
Sure, of course.
She doesn't seem 100% smart. Yeah. And I kind of felt sorry for her. He was kind of suggesting what she should say. She's like, oh, I've been working with the Ebola people for about a week. And he goes, cut. It's about, the whole thing went like 1 to 3 months. So say like a month or something.
Yeah.
So they do a retake. And she said, yes, I've been working with them for a month. And he goes, oh, that is amazing. And she doesn't know
she's
better.
She's easily fooled.
Yeah. She's young. She's inexperienced. She thinks like maybe this is her big break.
Right. I think I'd have to see it to be able to tell you if I agreed or disagreed. But for a lot of those people, I mean, he's exposing a side of them that we kind of knew was there anyway. You know,
yeah.
And if you watch the old show, the Ali G show that used to be on, that was the trick.
Yeah.
Every week was you would get these people on and you kind of knew what you were getting, you know, when he would talk to various people about certain topics. But it just, you know... Is it fair or unfair, I guess, is the question. Because they're there under some false pretenses. Everybody wants publicity. That's the underlying theme of all this. Everybody's in this to get famous, to get their word out. So
I know, but if somebody said to us, hey, you know, will you come to our organization and talk? You know, I don't even really like doing that.
Yeah.
But if it was something I believed in, I'd say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I trust that I'm going to be there to be taken seriously.
Sure.
So half of me feels like, boy, this is just preying on the vulnerability of people. But then the other half of me is kind of happy that these types of people are being exposed, because a lot of people think, oh, it's not like that in 2018. Oh,
but
my
it
God, it is.
Right.
It's frightening.
All right, let's do this. We'll discuss this further. We'll take a quick break. What are your thoughts? Have you seen the show yet? Who is America? It's on Showtime with Sacha Baron Cohen. Give us your thoughts. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Do you want to thank Steve or should I thank Steve?
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Bill and it's Wendy. And a well-thanked Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. Wendy, Dwayne A. Stamper Sr. is providing a service that I guess is kind of nice. I don't know. I'll tell you what it is. You tell me if you think this is a good service or not. He lives in Muncie, Indiana, not far from here. You could get in the car right now and drive out to Muncie, Indiana. It's close by. A man who is offering to spank misbehaving kids has stirred up charged feelings on social media. On Tuesday, Dwayne A. Stamper Sr., that's the guy I was just talking about, a father of five in Muncie, Indiana, posted a Facebook photo of himself sitting in his driveway with a cardboard sign that reads, "Free ass whoopings."
And picture, has he been arrested?
He's not been arrested yet.
How humiliating to have to pay for one.
The photo that he posted there on Facebook includes him sitting on his lawn with the sign and holding a paddle. The caption reads, "Hey parents, your kids need a whooping? Summer can't end fast enough. Stop by. I'm set up. No kids over 13. They may whoop me."
All right. You know what I would do? I would bring my kid and let them whoop him, and then I would sue him for...
No, because then you've given consent. You can't give consent.
Hey, you're supposed to not be able to spank your own kids, which I think is stupid. You can't beat your kids, but you can spank them.
Yeah.
Or get hit by a wooden spoon like I got hit.
Did you get hit by a wooden spoon?
Oh, my God. So many times.
How long ago?
This weekend.
My mom's been gone a long time, but she was, that hurt.
I would imagine. My dad would always say, "Hey, get my belt." And then my brother and I, we go, "Wait, if you're going to hit us, I'm not going through the trouble of getting the belt. You get the belt."
Why would you did not say that, because that would have really given you a double whooping.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if he had a belt on, he'd reach for it, and then we'd go, "Oh, the worst case scenario, your pants going to fall down." Go ahead.
I don't know how anyone parented the two of you, quite honestly.
I don't know. I've never come close. There's never been a situation once. And I know you'll get upset with me saying this, but I've never even considered spanking my kids. Not even once. Not even close.
I spanked Michael for running in the street. It was my first kid, and I didn't want it to ever happen again. And I did, you know, I was a new parent.
I've seen that play out because you want to shock them.
Yeah.
You want them to remember that there's consequences for
right.
doing this. But
I don't think I spanked Dylan.
No.
Jimmy, I just beat him up.
Jimmy?
No.
No?
No, and spanking worked for Michael. I might have tried with Dylan, but it didn't work with him. He'd hit me back.
Oh.
So, I mean, spanking...
That's a spank-off.
But it's funny now, because kids go, you can't hit me, I'll call DCFS, no. And I hand them the phone. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Really?
Seriously?
Wow.
But this guy, you can't hit somebody else's
yeah.
kid.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't.
Have there been any takers?
The photo landed... with 33,000 reactions, 176,000 shares.
Somebody wants attention.
Somebody wants attention, that's right. And 9,500 comments. Many people agreed with Stamper's approach to discipline, citing a universal lack of respect among children. A large number found the photo hilarious. How much for a house call, they asked. You can't do this door-to-door. You have to set up a booth. You have to get a zoning permit and set up a booth. However, a few disagreed with the idea of physical punishment, pointing out, no, it's not that some kids are good and some are bad. Others have comprehensive capabilities, meaning that others will learn slower than others.
That's
therefore,
true.
Wow. This note just goes on and on and on and on trying to explain it. Someone else wrote that no one should be spanking children under any circumstances. Agreed or disagree?
Let's see what Dave has to say. Dave, anxious to speak to you.
I'm actually speaking to you. Congratulations on the move.
On what?
From where you used to be in the window.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We're having a tough time hearing you in your phone.
That's a problem. No problem. Hang on a second. When I was a youngster, my parents said quite profoundly, a youngster needs a good spanking at least once a week.
Wow.
That was then.
I was not pleased with that. I've had six kids. And I've not raised my hand to any one of the six in all of their years.
See, times are different now. We got spanked, except for Bill.
I did not. I was spanked a couple times. I have never spanked.
At a club? What?
Yeah, at a nightclub.
Near Midway Airport. Spank, period.
It was $18 to spank.
All right. Well, Dave, that's good to know. So you've moved on and you didn't carry on the tradition, correct?
Not a bit. I got the belt. I got the spoons. If you got the opportunity occasionally to go out back and cut a switch off of any bush or any small tree and bring it in, then they'd use that on me.
That sounds like something from the Old West.
And you dropped your drawers, too, when you got spanked. It was not a clothed situation. I don't know whether they enjoyed it, but I certainly didn't. And I had two older brothers that didn't appreciate it either.
Yeah, it seems pretty barbaric. Thank you so much for calling, Dave. We totally appreciate it. And we need to talk to Julie. Your son called police on you?
He did. I got a call from the school saying he was vaping at school. So I had to go pick him up, and we're driving home. I found out that he had stolen my credit card to buy the vape, and he's digging it out of my purse as we're driving home. So, you know, there's this little thing in the car, and I reached over, and he was actually kind of threatening me and twisting my arm, so I smacked him in the face. And it wasn't, you know, I didn't bruise him or anything. And so he said, I want to get out of the car. I said, fine. And he's walking home, and I see him in the behind the car pulling out his phone, calling 911. A few minutes later, the cops show up. My son's in the car, and the cop, I open the door, and he said, I wish there were more parents like you in the world. This kid deserved it, and my son was just horrified.
Wow.
And the cop said, you know what? The cop said, you just call the sheriff on yourself.
Wow.
I have been slapped because I had a dirty mouth a lot, and my mom would slap me in the face.
At what age were you when this would happen?
I was...
Teenager?
Probably.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. And my son is 17, and, you know, he didn't have a mark or anything, and the cop told him, he said, you know, you're not bruised, you're not bleeding, your mom didn't kick you between the legs, nothing's broken. He said, I understand, you know, he said, you kind of deserved it, and the cop pulled me aside, and he said, you know, we try to back parents up as long as it's not call after call, and there's no evidence of any...
abuse.
Harm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How is your relationship with him after this incident, Julie?
He was shocked, and ever since then, he's never threatened me with anything. We don't spank or hit our kids. It was just this, oh my gosh, we're going to crash kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was scary, but ever since then, he knows that I will not hesitate to call if he's going to, you know, do that kind of thing to me.
Absolutely.
So it was just... Yeah, and like I said, he's never done anything like that, and I have not. My husband hasn't, but
That was the moment.
Will he be reluctant to call the police now, no matter what happens to him? Will he go, oh, the police are always on the opposite side? I'd be afraid if I were him.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, of course, if we were abusing him, he would call because that's what the cop told him.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he'd be afraid of that. But, yeah, anything else, as long as he's not, you know, being abused, I don't think he'd ever call, you know.
Well, good luck.
We've never done that before, but yeah.
Good luck,
Julie.
Thanks.
Teenagers, I don't know why they are here.
Oh.
I have no idea.
Interesting.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, Julie.
They're difficult.
I saw Julie fight Lennox Lewis a couple years ago. She was amazing. All right, we must take a break. In a little bit, Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Woo!
That was fantastic.
Gracias. All right, it's a Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey's on the line with us. You can find her at CNET.com. She's a senior editor. Social media, is it becoming a problem? There's something going on social media that we should be looking out for. Tell us, Bridget.
Well, it's really just something that has got a lot of buzz lately. You can thank a tweet by Donald Trump, but it's a concept that's been around for a long time. It's called shadow banning. And if you're not familiar with this part of the internet, it sounds very strange, like you could be shadow banned. It's a very spooky sounding thing. But what it is, I'll take you back in time. Back when we had web forums as our main thing, you know, before Facebook and Twitter, if you were on a forum and you were just not following the rules or being spammy, an administrator of the forum could, instead of kicking you off and saying you are banned, kind of secretly ban you so no one else in the forum can see what you're typing anymore. And that way, you know, you kind of get bored that no one's interacting with you anymore. You think you're still posting, but no one sees your posts, and you might just move on. And the reason that they would do that, and a lot of places still do this in certain websites, is because if you are told you're kicked off, you might get upset, create a new account, and still be a jerk. And so this is what some folks, you know, do to kind of curb the baddies of the internet, so to speak. But the reason it's come up again is because there's been a lot of talk, I dare say a little bit of conspiracy, that, like, does Facebook, does Twitter do things to essentially shadow ban the users that, you know, and the accusation has been, are they doing it to people who have Republican views? It's a big accusation, and frankly, I think the term is being used wrong, because shadow banning means, you know, your messages are not seen by anyone, and you're never told, and they did it all the time on Reddit. But the truth is, your tweets, your Facebook posts, they're still being out there. But what they'll do instead is, if, say, you are a Facebook group that has been violating rules, maybe your stuff won't be seen by as many people on their news feed, because they'll downplay your importance after getting so many reports about you. So you may kind of lose credibility and not be seen by, you know, everyone's news feed, essentially. With Twitter, it came up because of a search engine function. So if you're on Twitter searching for someone's name, oh my gosh, certain people, their names weren't coming up when they were being searched. And Twitter explains, all right, listen, we have this thing in place in an algorithm where if a lot of people are reporting an account as being abusive, we don't think it's a positive account. And so you had some prominent Republican figures who were being reported a lot, and they said, you know what, we shouldn't have done it that way. We're going to change it. So, you know, in search, if you type someone's name, you'll still see their name. I think you have this time where social media is trying to find a way to get rid of these trolls. But then what do you do when people are being reported unfairly? You know, how do you find that balance? Silicon Valley can't figure it out. That said, shadow banning itself is a word that's being thrown around very loosely. And if you do hear it in the news, you know, just kind of take a step back and, you know, put all this together.
Bridget, a quick question about this. All right. So let's say Facebook was doing it, just for the sake of argument. Let's say they were doing it. You mentioned it was by way of an algorithm, which would hint at the idea that it's the computer deciding what is banned and what isn't, as opposed to people. Is that true?
What they're saying is that it's not the content of the post, it's how many red flags about what people are doing to interact with it. Like if it's getting a lot of reports for being spam or bad, not so much what is being typed into these accounts necessarily. So I can't speak for like what Facebook does and doesn't do, but they're not outright like making you invisible. They're just simply making it so if you have a lot of reports of being someone who's sharing fake news or hoaxes,
they silence you.
They'll make it so maybe not as many people are seeing you when they turn on Facebook and look in their feed.
All right,
I gotta ask you a question, and we didn't run this past you, so you may not know the answer. But speaking of your news feed, there was this status that everybody's supposed to copy and paste to say, you know, please respond to this, otherwise you're not going to show up on my feed. I do notice that it's like the same people all the time. What do we do to see the news feed of everyone we're friends with again?
You won't be able to. A while back, Facebook said like they can only show you 200 or so of your closest accounts, and I follow 800, so I'm not going to see every post on there. And what Facebook's doing is kind of judging, all right, who do you interact with the most? If you notice people who you click like on and comment on, there you get alerts for them immediately on top of your feed. And so why people were saying that was say, hey, if you comment more, if you interact with me more, Facebook will alert you more that I'm doing something. And that's true for pages, not just people, but, you know, for outlets. So that's kind of trying to hack the system, but doesn't mean it necessarily always works.
It was better the old way, wasn't it? I liked it better the old way.
I always just wanted to see what is out there. That's why I kind of go toward Twitter more, because it's not, you know, it's supposed to be just an in order as people post it, you know, a list of messages. Although that in itself feels like it's changing too, because you log on, it's like, you may have missed this from 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I don't care. I know what's happening right now.
Exactly. Now, what do you think about Facebook? I know that I don't use it as much as I did before. Do you think it's going by the way of MySpace?
That's a hard question, of course, to answer, but I do know that that people in general are just sick of it, and yet we kind of, a lot of people are used to going to it for, you know, their checkup of the day, but maybe people don't want to engage with it as much, and that's what Facebook's struggling with, how to get people to keep making content and wanting to engage on it when they're feeling kind of like, you know, just gross and bitter about being on this place where everyone's just angry all the time.
It has changed.
Yeah. So tone has changed. I know people go to Instagram more. They're feeling weird about their privacy. So people just use it just to consume news. So you can use it as the tool you want to use it for, and go in knowing that it is a tool and not something that should be, you know, something that is used against you to like suck all your information and be an advertising machine, because it's an advertising machine. That's what
Bridget,
it is.
Did you see, I don't know if you watched John Oliver's show this week tonight on HBO. Did you see it this past Sunday by any chance?
No, I missed it. I'll have to catch it.
All right. Part of the segment was about this, about Facebook. And I'm sure you've seen the ad of Facebook trying to make friends with everybody, saying in the old days of Facebook, it was this and then it became this, but we want to make it this again. So John Oliver's stance was, no, they did exactly what they set out to do. They were mining us for our information. That's what they intended in the first place. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, they really were just out to get information to sell it to advertisers, and it's still that case. I mean, they can, but it's now they're kind of walking that line of, all right, so we can't collect as much as we used to, so how can we still get your trust and get you to use it more? And what you're seeing is more ways to maybe just interact with a really close group of friends, maybe your community, your neighborhood even, like the five houses near you might have their own group, or maybe your knitting community or something that you really are into, and then maybe you'll interact with them more. And so they're trying to make it more intimate instead of just this broad place.
Interesting. But they will still, I mean, truth be told, they will still, in some way, shape, or form, get your information to other sources, will they not?
Yeah, it's how they make money. Yeah. I mean, and as every week goes by, we hear another instance on how they were playing fast and loose with our information. So you can't just regain that trust quickly. So even if people do go on to chat with folks, I think the level of engagement will always be down because people are now kind of wary.
Yeah.
Come back to MySpace. I'm telling you, I kept my account open.
It's going to be big.
I don't even know if it's still out there. Bridget, thank you so very much. You can find her at CNET.com. She's Bridget Carey. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Catch you later. Thanks.
Quick break. News coming up. And don't forget, we have Scott Stapp tickets coming your way on 720 WGN. Who is this? I love this song.
I don't know who that is.
Who is this, Jazz?
It's Whistle by Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
Yeah, that's Flo Rida's whistling.
I love this song. It's old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super old.
Whatever song is put out, there should be a whistling version of it.
Well, this I think should be your go-to song for karaoke night.
Just I would just whistle it. They don't have whistle oki.
Super old to Jasmine's probably like 2 years.
I know.
This
no,
it's like 2015.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
Way back. Wow. There's cobwebs on it.
All right, get off her back. That's old in the terms of radio.
Super old.
Well, it's one of his early songs.
Yeah, it's the early Flo Rida. not the old man Flo Rida we see today.
James.
I like the theme from the Andy Griffith Show. Some pretty good whistling in there. The Stranger by Billy Joel has some good whistling.
Yeah. Andrew Bird out now currently does
he whistles?
Whistling. Yeah.
That's the wave of the future.
Is there whistling in Don't Worry, Be Happy?
That's all there is.
I tried to block it out of my head.
You know,
I can't
somebody was
that
talking
song.
About the most annoying songs and that surfaced as one of them. I don't dislike that song.
I like that song.
It's not like I'd go out and listen to it, but if I heard it,
it's
I'd painful. Listen to it for
really?
A couple minutes.
It's a little song I wrote, Bill. It's not, what is the one, We Built the City?
That's I love that song. Jefferson Airplane, Starship,
Enterprise. That's everyone's
Enterprise.
Go-to now. I don't know how that started, but...
I don't know what it is about that song, but I cringe.
Somebody playing the mambo bugs you.
No.
Marconi.
I love Marconi. No. Not We Built the City on Rock and Roll, but Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I mean, the message is a good message.
Maybe
it's a great message.
It's the optimism that wears you down.
No, Steve, you know me. I'm Billy Optimism. That's what did my tramp stamp say, Wendy? Look.
Billy Op.
Billy Op. Because there wasn't enough room. On the small of my back.
I think you didn't know how to spell it.
Yeah, I'm bad. When I couldn't see back there. It's way in the back. You should never give yourself a tramp stamp. Biggest mistake I ever made. What was I thinking?
And once you start.
Yeah, you have to finish.
You can't finish.
You don't want people to look at you and they go, where were you going with this? You got to complete it. I have found songs that you don't want at your wedding. Can I share these with you?
Yes.
Are you getting married anytime recently, Wendy?
I start?
No. Yeah.
Having my baby.
That would be great. That would be so funny if that's what you walk down the aisle to. I love that.
Well, now, do you mean walking down the aisle to or at the reception, like your first dance? That's what I think it is. Because church music, we had a song from The Godfather in our wedding at the church. I had to get that approved.
Which song from The Godfather?
I can't remember. I wish. No.
Oh, Ave Maria?
No, I gotta ask Jim.
One of the Italian songs that they play at the wedding at the beginning of Godfather?
I don't remember the name of it. I know we had the Beatles in My Life. We had, and this is in the church part.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you have the Stones? I can't always get... Can't always
no,
get
not in
want.
The church. I can't remember.
So
we did
Ave Maria, right? Was that Godfather 2 was the big murder scene?
Yeah.
You know, the murder
was
scene?
Follicula. Yeah,
no.
Was it that?
Funicula. No, that wasn't. Hearken. I see the bride from afar.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't it.
It wasn't called Go to the Mattresses, was it?
No. You're a jerk.
I'm just asking.
Again, this is in the church. I'm Catholic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Didn't go to the mattress till after I was married.
Oh.
Fill up the dead air.
We're all trying to calculate the odds of that.
Right. Zero. Yeah.
All right, Tara.
Al Martino sang it in The Godfather. I don't remember what it was. I really can't think of it right now.
You Light Up My Life?
That wasn't in The Godfather, was it?
I never saw the whole Godfather.
All right, Mary, you and I can no longer work together.
I know.
There's no way you and I can work together.
I didn't want to watch it.
It is a masterpiece.
There's but I think this is at the reception, like your first dance.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I don't know. Sorry, just go back to your list. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Harry, you know Harry Tynowitz, of course. Frequent contributor to this very show.
Yes.
I stood up to his wedding because he owed me a big favor. And he wanted to have Is She Really Going Out With Him as his wife walked down the aisle. That's funny.
That is funny.
But then she said, I don't think we should be going for funny. So nobody went for funny. All right. No, the purpose of this, Wendy, is songs that will clear a dance floor if they're played at
the
reception.
Okay.
Not necessarily at the church.
Can I just interject one more fact?
Yeah.
Mary Vandeveld's dad played at my wedding.
Oh, I knew that, but that's a strange coincidence.
Right. We didn't know each other then, but
that's a very strange coincidence.
And what was your favorite song they played?
The Girl from Ipanema? No, Girl Talk.
Proud Mary.
Neil Hefti, yeah.
Girl Talk. All right, so according to Huffington Post, do not play these at your wedding reception. You'll upset people. Number one, and this would be high up on my list too. Boy, I hate when this is played, the chicken dance. Isn't that awful?
I did not have that.
Horrendously bad.
I don't like
Nick DiGilio loves the chicken dance.
How can he love that?
I don't know.
Wake him up. There is no way someone can love it.
Oh, yeah, it should be played at every wedding.
No. I say that that's a sign that this wedding is not going to last.
Don't say that.
I mean it. I mean it, Wendy.
There are about 80,000 people listening right now that had the stupid chicken dance at
their
wedding.
And they're nodding. They're going, Bill, you're right. Our marriage fell apart. The second the chicken dance started, we went, this was not meant to be. YMCA by the Village People.
Not at all at the wedding or for your first dance?
It doesn't say first dance.
So
it just
at
says
the
at your reception.
Anywhere.
That this will ruin it.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
YMCA. Electric Boogie. I don't think
electric
I know what that
boogaloo,
is.
Electric Boogaloo, isn't it?
No, that's different.
Electric Slide.
Oh, the Electric Slide.
It does say AKA Electric Slide.
Right,
what is?
Yeah.
Why don't I know what that is?
Because it's stupid.
It's a line dance.
Participatory dance that everybody does.
No,
and
I'm
it's not. Just it's just weird. It's a weird dance too.
I should know
just
it, right?
Never liked
Jess,
it.
Can you find that?
It's like
and play?
Doing the Macarena. That's got to be on there.
That's
too.
Next.
Oh,
very good, Mary. Very good, Macarena by Los Del Rio. Cupid Shuffle. I don't think I know what that is. What is that? I've never heard of that.
I don't know.
I don't know that one.
The Cha-Cha Slide by DJ Casper. Don't know what that is either. Sweet Home Alabama.
I love that song.
But you would only play that if somebody's from Alabama.
Yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't. Is this the electric
this
slide?
Is electric
YMCA,
boogie.
Isn't it?
Oh. Sorry, y'all. I thought y'all were talking about YMCA.
Who doesn't know what YMCA is?
That's what I said.
My good God, y'all. I love Hotel California.
Sweet Home Alabama.
I love Sweet Home Alabama, but even I would, I might.
But you, why would
know.
You play, if you or the groom aren't from Alabama, why would anyone play Sweet Home Alabama?
It's a great song, man.
How have I've never heard this, ever.
Because you don't go out.
I go out. I go to the clubs. I'm always clubbing. I was at a rave last night, Wendy. Until almost 9 p.m. Wait, 9 a.m.? I can't remember. I was dizzy.
The only rave in your life is those old rave perms that you'd put in your hair. Did your mom ever do her own?
No, that hurt. Once you start going perm slotting on me, then
you
I'm
had
bad.
A perm.
I may get another one. I'm thinking about getting another one. Leo Sayer and I are going out tonight. We may end up with perms. All right, let's take a quick break, and then more songs you should not play at your wedding reception. It'll ruin everything. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is a clip from my wedding reception, Wendy. We played this.
Yeah, with you sitting down.
And the Osmond Brothers all night long.
Lazy River?
Yeah, we played Lazy River.
What is this?
I knew you guys would have no idea.
What is this, Jazz?
It's the Cupid Shuffle.
I would not have guessed that.
I've never heard this
it's
before
beautiful.
In my life.
It is beautiful. These are songs that you should not... Are you getting married? Are you thinking about having some music at the reception? Do not play these songs. They say these are the worst things you can do at your wedding reception. I'm not sure why this one. Maybe because it caused some controversy. But Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. What is it about that song that would be... bad to play at a reception.
Wasn't he cheating on his wife with that girl?
With the girl in the video?
I don't remember the controversy.
Maybe. I don't know. I know their marriage broke up soon after he made it, but I don't remember the details.
That's a good song.
Shout by the Isley Brothers. I would think that'd be good at a wedding reception.
That gets everybody on the dance floor.
It does, doesn't it? I think that's a good one.
A little bit louder now.
I think this is a good one. Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
It starts with a little
guitar.
What's
wrong with that? I like this one too. Love Shack by the B-52s. There's a lot of energy in Love Shack. You don't agree?
I get it. I just, yeah. These are just so, these are givens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Despacito, the big hit from last year.
I don't remember it.
By Luis Fonsi.
Jasmine?
Hey.
Despacito.
I'm coming.
All right.
No? Safety Dance, Men Without Hats. Do not play that at your wedding reception.
I like Safety Dance. But again, I guess, here's an idea. Pick the songs you like.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had Bob Stroud and his band Rockestra.
They did a great job.
They really did.
Did a nice job.
And we couldn't figure on our first dance.
Yeah.
Because since you have a band, you don't want to play a record. So they did the Etta James classic At Last and did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Great job.
They were very, very good. What about the? Oh, now these are all songs that I like. Every one of these, "Sweet Caroline" by Neil Diamond.
That's good. That song should
reception.
Never be played again, ever. I am so sick
because
of that song.
Why, Wendy? What happened?
Because it's just so overused.
Yeah.
If I hear one more person say "bomb, bomb, bomb," I will punch them. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Ah, you have to punch yourself.
No, I was punching as I was doing the da da da.
All right, "Money, Money" by Billy Idol.
I would do the Tommy James original.
Doesn't have the sneer factor that Billy Idol has.
Who wants sneer factor at their wedding?
I love sneer factor at a wedding. Listen to this.
I like this song.
It's great.
But it has no meaning. I would never play it at my wedding.
It means someone who's desperate.
I'm married. I'm not desperate anymore.
Anymore.
Oops.
It stopped. That's the day it stopped. No more Desperate Wendy. I don't like this one. Happy by Pharrell. That song I liked the first time I heard it, and then the other 1,080 times I went, mm-mm.
You know what is interesting about you?
Hmm.
You don't like Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Right?
You don't like Happy.
Who's my least favorite dwarf?
Happy?
Yeah. Can't
you don't want to be happy.
I want to be happy.
You won't let yourself be happy. Lay on the couch.
I've seen Happy Gilmore every day since it first came out.
And you don't even like the movie.
No, I can't stand it.
You don't want to be happy. That's
I
want
to be happy.
Mm-mm.
I'm trying to find it. We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
We Are Family. I got all my sisters with me.
I play that at my wedding, but only because Willie Stargell was my best man.
I don't get it.
Only pirate fans get that. Come On, Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners.
Again, great song.
Incredible energy. How could you not enjoy that song? At a wedding? At a funeral? I want that played at my funeral, Wendy. Mark that down.
I'm not in charge of anything.
You'll be long gone. Jump Around by House of Pain.
I'm done listening to you.
You don't want to play something by a band called House of Pain at your wedding reception. So I agree with that one.
Nobody knows who sings it, though.
Jump Around?
I like that song.
I wouldn't have known who sang it.
But I feel too old to have that at a wedding.
Mary, please watch The Godfather before tomorrow's show, please.
No.
I worry for you.
I want to see a horse
You've
head
never
on
seen
a
The Godfather.
Mattress.
That's only in it for a minute.
I don't
it's
care.
Not the whole movie's not a horse head in the bed.
I don't see it.
Speaking of horses, Mustang Sally by Wilson
That's
Pickett.
That's a great song.
That's
that
a great
be
song. That should be played at every wedding.
Everyone would dance to that.
Yes. I agree with you.
Even you.
If there was going to be a Sir Mix-a-Lot song played at a wedding reception, I think Baby Got Back would be the one.
It's a great song.
I got to give it to Sir Mix-a-Lot. I never thought he'd be knighted. Did you? I've known him a long time. When we were kids, I'd go, Mix-a-Lot, there's no way they'll ever knight you. I was wrong. Sir Mix-a-Lot. Gold Digger by Kanye West.
Mm. I don't think Kanye West would be an appropriate wedding song unless it's Kim Kardashian.
No. Yeah. And even then. Heartless, also by Kanye West. Well, he's leading the league all of a sudden. He came from out of nowhere. Now he's got more songs than anybody. I love this song. It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
I don't even know who that is. I don't know what that is.
Just find that one. As soon as you hear it, you'll know it. Because this was all over the radio.
Terrence, do you know that Roxette song?
It must have been Love by Roxette. Very pretty song.
You're a wedding DJ?
Yes, I am. And every song that you guys are referencing, those are songs that are kind of easy go-to songs.
Sure.
You know, and I'm guessing that list is just saying, whoever made that list is just saying they're tired of hearing them. But people love that stuff. So, yeah. Like, you know, you guys were just saying, it's all about preference. And
sure.
If people are happy with it that are at the party, that's our job, is the music that the majority of the room is going to be happy with.
What song is requested more than any other song, Terrence, from you when you're wedding DJing?
It's usually the line dance songs, mainly the ones you guys say y'all haven't heard of, like the Cupid Shuffle,
really?
Casper Slide, Electric Slide.
Terrence, here's the thing. I think the bride and groom should get together and pick the songs they want, but I don't think anyone should have the chicken dance anymore.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No chicken dance. Do people request chicken dance a lot? Because that's stupid. Come on.
He doesn't want to commit. Terrence does not want to commit. Will you, Terrence, if I paid for it, would you watch The Godfather with Mary Vandeville tomorrow? I'll buy it. It's on me.
If they hire me to play the chicken dance, I'll play it.
All right.
But you would shun them. You would not like the fact that you're playing it. Do you get
I would
to...
not like... Okay. I don't like to play half of the music I play at these
really?
Weddings.
Really? Half the music? Really?
Half the music, oh. Yeah, but people are paying me to play them, so I'm
right.
A glorified jukebox at that moment.
What's the strangest request you've ever had at a wedding reception to play?
I don't know if you could say strangest request, but I do get a lot of people who, you know, enjoy the evening a little bit too much, and they come up and ask me for music that you know is going to kill the mood.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to just smile at them, be like, yeah, I get that on, and you just don't play it. That's all. Yeah.
And you just blow them off. That's right. What I did on the radio years ago. Sure, I'll play your request.
Yeah.
More Bob Seger, no problem. Well, thank you for calling, and if you want to give your information, if people need you.
How do they get you if they want to hire you?
But think about it before you do it.
Well, I'm mostly advertising on Facebook because I have a full-time job on top of DJing, so I haven't gone full-blown as far as, like, you know, website and everything. But I've been doing this over 20 years now.
You must be doing
something right. Congratulations, Terrence.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for calling.
That's Terrence.
Oops, sorry. What is this?
This is It Must Have Been Love by Roxette. You're going to know. You know this, right?
Yeah, but they say, and it's over now, don't they?
They do say that a lot in the song.
That's not good.
Yeah, they do. But they don't mean I don't think they mean the marriage. Oh, maybe they do.
I mean the love.
I don't know the song.
I told you there was a song that I wanted played at our reception, Hold Me Till the Morning Comes by Paul Anka. And then my wife said, did you ever listen to the lyrics of that song? It's about a breakup. I didn't know that. I just heard I just hear the happy, Wendy. I don't hear the sad. I only hear the happy. All right. We must take a break. Some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The business stuff that matters.
I'm Steve Bertrand. On the next Wintrust Business Lunch, we'll check in on the TV biz here in Chicago. We'll visit with the president of CineSpace.
Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch next at noon on 720 WGN.
Retire with confidence. Thursdays at 12:20 during the noon business hour here on WGN with Steve Bertrand and Chicago's retirement planning expert, Bill Geiger. GeigerWealth.com.
All right, you know, one of my favorite parts of the Steve Cochran show is when Lollapalooza comes to town,
mm-hmm.
and they play band Lollapalooza band or band Steve was in. They're going to do that again tomorrow on the Steve Cochran show starting at 6 a.m. And someone who will not be at Lollapalooza, Scott Stapp, he will be live in action on August 25th at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. He was the front man for the multi-platinum selling band Creed. Maybe he'll do the chicken dance.
He might.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape, or you can call us right now at 312-981-7200. Seventh caller is going to go see Scott Stapp, formerly of Creed, singer, songwriter, Creedster, live in action August 25th, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Seventh caller, 312-981-7200.
It says Creedster on the sheet? It does not.
Mm-mm.
Is Creed no longer?
I think he's just got a
taking
solo
taking
stuff
some time
too.
Off, yeah. All right.
I don't know. I'm not president of their fan club.
Oh.
Wendy, I just wanted to tell you that Must Have Been Love song. That's where I hear it all the time. Pretty Woman. It was in Pretty Woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That right. Roxette song?
Yep. Yeah. They play it all the time.
Very good call, Mary. So you've seen Pretty Woman.
A lot.
You've not seen
it's
The Godfather.
One of my favorite
it's
movies.
About a lady of the evening. That is not an appropriate play for
a
wedding.
Great movie,
very
though.
Inappropriate. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Eric. What is this song?
Na na na.
Oh, I like this.
Na na na.
Havana na 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 na.
No, just three nas.
Oh. Eric,
you said too many nas.
I got to ask Eric a question. I have been seeing you a lot as a reporter on WGN TV News. I've been hearing you a lot on WGN Radio.
Yes.
And I've been reading your comic book. I love it.
You're the one.
It's so good.
I knew there was one out there.
He has a podcast, too.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Single, Married, Divorced.
Three different takes on
Eric
everyday
plays
things.
Single in that one.
That is true. I am single.
All right, so I saw you doing a report yesterday, and
oh,
I
boy,
pleased.
I know where this is going.
All right, yeah, I have to ask you.
This is too good.
I listen to me. I am very sorry. I was watching the whole news. I don't remember what the actual story was on. So
I don't know how you could after you saw what happened.
Yeah, a little kid ran into you. What happened?
Okay, so I was doing a report on a very serious story. It was about the police-involved shooting, and the family had filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the city and the officer. And so I was about ready to do, I wrap up my story live, and I was going, everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden, you know how you can just kind of feel the presence of somebody?
Yes.
So I saw the photographer. He was kind of like waving, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on. So I looked down, and then I felt something right beside me, and I turned, and there's this little kid standing right next to me. And you can seriously see me jump on camera, and just because it just startled me. And then I think I stumbled all over myself trying to get back
to
the anchors.
It was just, I didn't see him approach. I just looked up because right at that moment when you like kind of stopped for a second, you turned to your side and you said, excuse me, and then went
but I don't know
how else you could avoid that. I mean, I know the show must go on, but that had to really throw you.
It did. I mean,
it wasn't rude, but
no, I mean, it was clear when you watched the video that I was startled because I mean, you really could see me kind of, you know, take a step back. I mean, it just
well, you didn't know what
startled.
Was happening.
No, I had no idea.
Did he run into you, Eric, or was he just standing by you?
You could just feel it. You could feel someone there.
So he was just standing right next to you?
He's right next to me. I mean, he just wanted to be on TV, and I get that. And, you know, that's fine. It just, you know, it really did startle me. And
how old of a kid would you say?
Oh, I would say he was probably 8.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's funny because you can see, I went back to the studio afterwards and I watched the video, and you could see him just kind of almost circle right around, and then he's like, oh wait, I think he's talking, and then he like shoots up right beside
me. What a brave little kid, I'm telling you.
Oh man,
he was adorable.
He was cute. And then around 5:30 when I was doing my second hit, him and I'm assuming it was his father, maybe an older brother, I don't know, they were kind of standing around to get it. I kind of looked back at him and kind of smiled, and he knew you know what had happened. But
I gotta tell you, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more.
Well,
it used to.
You know what you always see is there'll be a reporter like Eric out doing their job, and it's a story that's a sad story, and there's people in the background waving and smiling and doing jumping jacks and juggling and just trying to make their presence.
Juggling?
Yeah. They're just trying to make their presence known, and it's, first of all, it's so disrespectful to whoever's involved in the real story and to the reporter who's just trying to report on it. And I don't know, Eric, in a case like that, whose job is it to say to those people, hey, I know you want to be on TV. I understand that, but I got to do this. This is too important.
Yeah, usually, so we're usually a two-man live crew. So there's usually one person kind of manning the truck, and then there's the photographer, and the person manning the truck. Now, in this case, that happened yesterday. I mean, this happened so quick that the other photographer couldn't get out of the truck in time. But usually, the other photographer will keep an eye out for something like that. And
to
then,
keep him out of the shot.
Yeah, just to kind of keep him out
like,
of the
shot.
Move
over.
Right, right. Well, you know, the other thing is that, especially when you're live, I mean, you are so focused on every word that you're saying because you want to report the
story. You did a great job.
And, you know, so you're so focused and you kind of block out all of that other noise and the people moving all around you. And so that's another reason why I think it just startled me so much. And I just looked at him. I said, excuse me.
He did.
I have to do this real quick.
And this was a serious story where there was footage of the father of this shooting victim saying, you know, I'm not saying my kid didn't have a gun, but right. I want to know the truth behind this.
Exactly.
So it's a really serious thing. And then Eric's doing a great job. And I looked away for a minute, and when I looked back up, I saw the cute little kid, and you just turned and said, excuse me.
I had to finish my report.
Yeah,
Eric, wouldn't it be awful if you got replaced by that kid, if the bosses saw the kid and they went,
well, you know what, they're getting younger and younger every day. So.
No, they are. I used to work with this girl, Dana, at another radio station, and she got a job as a reporter in a small market city in Missouri, and their deal was, and Eric, I don't know if you've ever done a market like this. It's a one-person crew. Whoever the reporter is, they go out, they set the camera up on a tripod, and they've got a remote in their hand.
Really?
Yeah.
Every... Now, I never had to do any live reports like that, but when I first got started in the business, yeah, we had to go out and shoot our own stuff, and we had to edit all of our own stuff, and we were a one-man crew out there. I did not, and they do this now in small markets, so they will be out there by themselves going live, and that, to me, is scary, because... I mean, yeah, yesterday it was harmless. He just came up right beside me. But, I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen next. I mean,
but you didn't know if he was armed or
exactly.
if he was going to punch you.
Exactly.
And plus, you're not looking at him, so you can't judge what's going to happen. You're focused right at the camera.
Right, exactly. And that's what kind of makes it scary. I've only had one other issue like that, and it was after there was a big brawl down at Navy Pier, and we had gone down there. It was breaking news. There was something like 80... you know, teenagers involved.
I remember this news story.
Yeah, and so we got down there, and I was going live, and luckily there was video up while I was talking and giving my report in this case, but somebody came up, and they just kind of slapped the back of my head.
Oh, my God.
And I stopped talking, and I just said, excuse me, I'm sorry, there's some people kind of messing with me down here. And, I mean, it was scary. It didn't hurt, but it was just kind of, again, startling. But because you don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
You're too young to know this, Eric, but Wendy, you and I will remember this. John Drummond, who for years and years was a reporter here in Chicago.
Bulldog.
Bulldog. It seemed like every time he went out on remote, somebody was either taking his hat off his head or biffing him in the back of the neck. I don't remember him ever doing a report that somebody wasn't messing with.
I don't remember that.
It was insane. I don't know what it was, because he was such a great reporter, but no matter where he was, there were guys behind him, hooligans. I blame it on hooligans.
Yeah.
And they were always just messing with him.
Yeah, usually we get a lot of people that will come by and just yell stuff, a lot of inappropriate things, which we've had to deal with, you know, from time to time. Luckily, our microphones are so directional that it usually can't really understand what they're saying.
Like swear words and stuff?
Oh, yeah. There's
I'm so innocent.
Yeah, it can get a little bad, especially like when we were when the Cubs were going to the World Series 2016. We were trying to do live shots down there, and people were trying to grab the microphones and
crazy Cub fans.
I know, but you know, I get it. Part of it is they're having, you know, they just want to be on TV. They're celebrating, and you know, part of it I think is almost our fault for trying to go live down there and thinking nothing's going to happen. But
in that case, maybe, because that's crazy town.
But yesterday down at City Hall, that was different. I'm not expecting that to happen down there.
Well, I was telling Bill about it off the air, and I don't know. I didn't know the whole story, so we needed to ask you about
that. No problem.
What a day.
It is. At some point, I'm going to have to post that on my Facebook page, because it is humorous. Just this
now that it's
boy.
Over.
Sure. I know.
And nothing happened.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
It's like if my kids came up to me if I was doing something in the past, I would just push them away. Thank God you didn't do that.
Oh, I know.
Just push his little head away.
I mean, who knows? You that reaction.
Yeah.
Luckily, I looked down.
I'll tell you, Eric, Ryan Burrow would have handled this very differently. You know that.
Well, if he was in the newsroom right now, I could ask him. Maybe I could get some pointers from him.
That kid would have an ugly story to tell. All right, well, thank you, Eric. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
And great job.
Oh,
we have to congratulate who? I didn't have a pen.
Oh, Mike from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
All right, he is going to see Scott Stapp, and that's happening on August 25th. Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Tickets currently on sale if you didn't win tickets like Mike from Kalamazoo. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. It should be a great show. Scott Stapp, and it's all happening Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Should we take a break?
Yeah, break and then more stuff. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, my God. This I would play at my wedding. This is one of my guilty pleasure songs, and I don't even know if I have to say guilty.
No, that's a good song.
Yeah, I love this song.
This is very nice.
Do you ever find a song that you like so much and you have on your iPhone and you play it like 5 times in a row? Wait, leave it up there. I love this electronic. This thing kicks in. I play it like 5 times in
a row.
In a row?
The same song?
And then I'm kind of done with it for a while. But now I haven't heard it in a while. This is my favorite part.
I've never played a song 5 times in a row.
Never?
No. The first few times I heard the song, I thought she was singing I Found Love at Oprah's Place, which you could do, but that's what I thought the song is. I'm like, who sings this? Gail King? I Found Love at Oprah's Place.
5 times, maybe even 6 times.
In a row?
Yeah. I'll just go back and forth and sing it. There was this cute little girl. She must have been 20 years old. And she was. It looked like she was taking her grandma somewhere, yeah. Like maybe shopping, yeah, to lunch, maybe to a doctor's checkup. And I was pulled up next to her at a stop sign, mm-hmm, in a lot of traffic. And she had some song on that I wish I could remember. And she was just belting out a tune.
The girl was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the grandma's just sitting there, like, looking straight ahead. No comment, no nothing. Like,
how could this be a relative of mine? That kind of look?
No, just like this happens every day.
Oh, she was used to it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I kind of leaned over, and she looked at me, and I gave her a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah?
And she gave me a thumbs up back, and I said, "You sound great." And she goes, I didn't know what to do because I was caught looking at her.
You should have tipped her.
She was belting out a song with all the windows down and her grandma are in the front seat.
Deep down, how do you think her grandmother feels about this? Deep down.
I think she thinks her granddaughter has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Let's go with that.
Okay, Mr. Unhappy, what would you do? Roll up the windows so no one could hear it?
Yeah.
Did you ever get caught at a stop? You don't sing. You don't let yourself go ever, do you?
Yeah, there's times
where the windows down and you look over.
No, not with the windows down. No.
Because I've done that.
I don't need to.
Not as loud as this. And this girl didn't really have the music very loud. She was way above it.
She was overpowering the music?
But there's been times I've been jamming to something, maybe some Zeppelin, rocking out, and I look over and somebody's looking at me laughing.
People are staring at you.
Yeah. I wave.
Hi.
Rock and roll.
I thought I was on The Voice, but I'm not. I'm driving.
I mean, come on. You're so judgmental. I'm in my own car. Can't I do what I want?
You can, but but when it affects other people.
Oh, please.
I think you scared other people. By the way, note to Mary Vandevelde. Is she still around? I don't know if she's still around. I don't see her. Mary, if you're still here, we're getting a lot of texts from people who have also not seen The Godfather, and I've written their names down, and I'm submitting them to the FBI.
Did you see the text that came over and said, Mary, don't see it. It's bloody.
Don't see The Godfather. Well, of course it's bloody.
Don't watch Godfather. It is very bloody and made me a wreck. And all the mob movies, I had to cover my eyes. Bloody.
It's about the mafia. It's not going to be whipped cream.
Mary is not here. This is Violetta.
Violetta.
But I've seen The Godfather.
Well, you have to see The Godfather.
What about Goodfellas?
Oh, Goodfellas is my favorite.
I do love that movie.
Miss Congeniality 2.
Guilty.
Yep. We're only talking the classics now.
God, help me. Where's the drugs, Karen?
But if you're an adult, if you're a film lover and you live in America, or let's say planet Earth, you got to see The Godfather. You can't even debate that. You need to see it.
Casino?
Casino you should see.
That's a good movie, too.
There's a lot of should-sees, but if you're going with must-see, The Godfather's at the top of the list. The Godfather and Godfather 2.
I really like Goodfellas. Not better, but it's...
But different. Goodfellas is a great movie, but The Godfather's unparalleled. It's just, it's the ultimate work of art in terms of movies. It's perfect in every way.
Every time I hear this song, Jump Into the Fire by Nilsson, it is Ray Liotta making the red sauce.
Yeah.
And looking up. And every time I hear this, I want spaghetti and meatballs.
Is that right?
I'm not kidding.
Has that effect on you?
I think I'm going to make spaghetti and meatballs tonight.
The only time I was ever truly disappointed in one of my children, and I mean truly and underlined it.
I know where this is going.
One of my daughters wants to be a filmmaker. She wants to be a documentarian, and she had never seen The Godfather. And you know this. HBO ran this Godfather where it's all in order. It's fantastic.
Do you like it better in order?
I'm not supposed to.
But you
because
do.
The purists will tell you you need to see Godfather and then Godfather 2. And for people who don't know, for the 11 of you who have not seen it, Godfather 2 is both a prequel and a sequel to The Godfather. It's the early days of Vito Corleone, and then it's what happened after Vito Corleone.
It's a directorial epic. It really is.
Is it ever? Is it ever? It's perfect. And Kylie, I finally got her to watch it with me. It was not easy. And she just said, "Dad, it's not that good."
Did she watch the whole thing with you?
She said that at about the 1 hour mark, and it's seven. The whole epic, the whole Godfather complete epic.
Enough time,
7 hours.
And you have to digest it, and you may even need to see it again.
That's good. I agree with you.
So there's no. It's not. She is not going to be successful in her directorial.
I don't think
work.
She is. And I'm not wishing her bad.
No, but it.
But if it happens that her career is just a miserable nightmare, I'll go. Remember,
it's because she didn't watch
it. Yeah, you got to. You don't just watch The Godfather. You absorb it. You just sit by it and you let it take you over. You give into it.
And if it's on, you just watch it, no matter what
that
part,
is true.
What movie. I don't even know which movie's which, but I just
But if you're flipping around and you come in, it just happened to us last weekend and we watched it.
You can't turn it off.
I know.
It's impossible.
I would say you could do that with Goodfellas as well.
Goodfellas really like
that has
movie.
That element. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm going to go Godfather over Goodfellas, but they're both quality films.
Yes, I agree with you.
And what was the big thing in Goodfellas when Ray's taken Lorraine Bracco into the back area of this restaurant? They walk through a kitchen because the kitchen...
The tracking shot of all the mobsters.
Explain that. But somebody said that what was so unique about that, it was one single shot. I don't even know what that means.
They all just right. followed them all the way through, and that's when they also introduced all of the other characters in it.
Yes.
I think it was like, that's Johnny two times. They call him that because he says everything twice. Hey, let's go get the papers. Yeah. Get the papers.
Yeah, so it's normally, if that shot was set up, that scene was set up in a movie, you'd have all different angles. You know, you'd see each of the characters from a different angle.
Oh.
But they chose to shoot it in a way where it's all just one long tracking shot, and it's not easy to do, but it really works. It works beautifully in the movie.
Do you remember the song that's playing during it? Because I don't know anything about directing or anything, but that really was a memorable shot to me. And this is it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Crystals.
Jimmy Fallon actually does a great parody of it for his version of The Tonight Show, where they do the same kind of a restaurant tracking shot, and you meet all the people who work on his show.
I like that.
Did you ever see that commercial? It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
But, all right, because, you know, again, I don't understand. You studied film.
I was a film major, yes.
Lieutenant, I thought.
No, I was a major, and I'm also ambidextrous. I throw that in just to make you mad.
But people say that, you know, that was done with one shot. It's like, what does that mean? But now
to further impress you, there have been a couple of movies in history, most notably Rope by Alfred Hitchcock, where the entire movie is one long tracking shot. And in La La Land, if you watch the first, I think it's 8.5 or 9 minutes of La La Land, that whole sequence at the beginning where they're stuck in a traffic jam, that's all one long tracking shot. And it's impossible because there's so much going on. There's so much singing and dancing and choreography.
So no cuts, no retakes,
not a single cut. Watch the first 9 minutes. It's a marvel.
Well, watch the whole movie because it's a great movie.
Watch
you don't just
movie.
Watch the...
Yeah, turn it off at the 9 minute mark. But when you think about all that went into that... When I say choreography, I don't just mean dancing. I mean the way they move the cars.
Everything.
And everything. And it's impressive. It's
really
impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, we must take a break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. It's the stream of consciousness. It's the bonus hour. We would love to have you. It's a lot of fun. Or stick around and listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve. We'll explain more next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.